Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Are you bored? Uninspired? Feel like you're wasting your life? If so, you will want to pay close attention to the tale of Johnny Bunko, because
he's probably a lot like you. He worked hard, got pretty good grades, and set off on his career. He did what everybody said he was supposed to do. But now, stuck in a cubicle at the Boggs Corporation, he's begun to suspect that everyone was wrong.
Yes, it's time for Plan B, folks. And what better way to help you hash it out than a book that's described as the first business book in manga? And here now to tell us what that means and talk about all this is Daniel Pink. He's the author of Johnny Bunko, The Last Career Guide You'll Ever Need. Hi, Dan. Welcome to WNYC.
Brian, thanks for having me on the program.
What is manga?
Manga is Japanese comics, comics that either originate from Japan or now, as these comics have become popular around the world, comics that are inflected with a certain Japanese look and feel.
So this graphic novel, basically, that I'm holding in my hand is in the Japanese comic manga style.
Yes, it's a 160-page graphic novel career guide.
So why a manga career guide?
Well, I spent a couple of months last year in Japan, and one of the things that you notice immediately in Japan, I was studying the manga industry, and one of the things you notice in Japan immediately is that manga is ubiquitous, and that manga in these comics have a very different role in Japan than they have than comics have in the United States. Here in the U.S., we tend to think that comics are for kids. In Japan, comics are for everybody. 22% of all printed material in Japan is in manga. So you can get manga for managing your time, manga on political topics. If there was a battle between two Democratic nominees in Japan, there would be a manga reflecting some of the concerns that your callers earlier were expressing.
Well, very good. Tying into the last segment. I like that.
Hey, everything I can do to keep people from turning the dial.
So once upon a time, it might have been haiku everything. Now it's manga everything.
Yeah, it's a very robust, very expressive form. It's more like television here than it is like comics here. And what's happened here in the U.S. is that manga has actually become quite popular, but it's still very popular. It's still mostly for people under 17. And so it was almost like a whole genre was missing here in the U.S., manga for adults. So I decided to try to do the first business manga for an adult audience.
So that clip we played, which I didn't identify, I should say, that's from your website, isn't it?
We put out a movie trailer about this book, and so that gravelly voice guy is one of the people who does movie voiceovers.
And a movie trailer for a graphic novel. I like the concept. So he's probably a lot like you, as the gravelly voice guy said. He worked hard, got pretty good grades, and set off on his career. He did what everybody said he was supposed to do. But now, stuck in a cubicle in the Boggs Corporation, he's begun to suspect that everyone was wrong. But this is it's an almost suspiciously multicultural corporation. As I read through the book, people named Carlos and Yuko and Lakshmi. So I don't know. Is it so bad?
Well, we don't know. I mean, it's multicultural, but there's no identification of the nationality of this company. We don't know that it takes place in the United States.
Right.
It looks like the world economy. And, you know, one of the reasons, just to take a step back, one of the reasons to do it in this form is that certain kinds of career information out there is available online for free, tactical career information, what keywords to put in your resume and so forth. That's available online for free. And so you put that kind of information in a book, it's not worth anything. I mean, it goes stale before it even hits the store shelf. So I thought what a book could do is give people strategic information, big picture information. So this book is keyed around the six key lessons about work, satisfying work, that I wish I had known 25 years ago.
Six and career secrets. Number one, there is no plan. That's very zen.
Well, it's also very, it's actually very strategic and smart, too. that comes from my having gone to a number of colleges and universities, talking to students there and having students say to me, Dan, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to major in this topic. Then I'm going to get a job here. I'm going to do that for a few jobs, get a job there, go to graduate school. Upon leaving graduate school, get a job here. That will inevitably lead to this. And, you know, I wanted to say to them, okay, guys, there is no plan. It doesn't work that way. And what Johnny learns in this book is that you can make decisions for two kinds of reasons. You can make decisions for instrumental reasons, that is, you think something's going to lead to something else, or you can make decisions for fundamental reasons. You do something because it's inherently interesting and it's what you want to do. And the dirty little secret is that instrumental reasons don't work. It's too tumultuous out there. And the people who really flourish are people who make decisions for fundamental reasons and live with the ambiguity of not knowing exactly what's going to happen next. And, you know, what I encourage some of these young folks to do is to say, find someone who's doing something interesting, something that matters, something that you think is making a contribution, and ask that person, how did you get to be doing what you're doing? 99 times out of 100, the interesting people, the people doing things really that matter, will answer that question with, it's a long story, because they didn't have a plan. They were making fundamental decisions and then living with the ambiguity, and that's how they managed to do something that mattered.
So to secret three, it's not about you. It's about your client. Use your strengths, but remember you're here to serve, not to self-actualize. Now, that's a heavy concept when we're raised to look for our own bliss.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think, and that's actually exactly why that lesson is in there. I mean, I kept hearing stories of 22-year-olds going into companies thinking they would be CEOs in 6 months, that they could, you know, work part-time and bring their dog. And it doesn't work that way. I mean, there are too many people, I think, raised with too much self-esteem, too much undeserved self-esteem. And ultimately, the people who really succeed are people who are thinking about others, who are serving their customers, serving their clients. I mean, if you never thought about your listeners, you would not have a show very often. If you only thought about, I'm just going to do whatever is good for me, that's how I'm going to produce my show, I would say that you wouldn't have that long of a career in radio.
There's a line to walk, though, in any business between that, the correctness of what you just said, and a kind of soulless marketing where you leave yourself and your values behind.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I actually think that soulless marketing of leaving yourself and your values behind is bad business, too. I mean, again, that advice comes after, as you said, this idea that you need to use your strengths rather than worry about your weaknesses, that you need to make decisions for fundamental reasons. And so there's a certain amount of leavening of that ability. So if you go in and tell people, make decisions for fundamental reasons, use your strengths, don't worry about your weaknesses, you also have to say that, well, it has to be in the service of something larger than that. It has to be in the service of simply, you know, your own self-actualization. It has to leave an impact on the world. It has to serve somebody else. And the people who really get juiced by their work are people who have an impact on others, whether it is, you know, taking care of the sick or feeding the hungry, but also people who deliver a really cool product that other people didn't know they were missing, or people who make a great movie, or people who do things to delight others. That is an enduring source of satisfaction.
My guest on WNYC is Daniel Pink, the author of the new graphic novel, The Adventures of Johnny Bunko, the last career guide you will ever need. So we're going through your six career secrets. Here's a really interesting one, number five. Make excellent mistakes. What's an excellent mistake?
Well, an excellent mistake is a mistake where the benefit of what you've learned exceeds the cost of what you've screwed up. And what I find as someone who writes about work and writes about organizations, studies organizations, is that I see so many people get to work, get to their desk, and their goal for that day is not to screw up. Their goal for that day is not to make a mistake. And I actually think that's a pretty effective strategy for not making a mistake. I think there's about a 90% chance, if that's your goal, you won't make a mistake. I think there's a 100% chance you won't do anything interesting. And the people who really flourish are the people who actually have high aspirations, who are willing to take a few risks, who are willing to make a few mistakes. Now, smart mistakes. In the book, Johnny makes a really stupid mistake where he barges into the CEO's office unannounced. That, I don't have tolerance for that. But Johnny actually in the book makes an excellent mistake where he comes up with this cockamamie idea for shoes that have seeds embedded in the bottom of them. And as the soles wear down, the seeds get distributed, and that becomes a way to plant more trees. Now, it's a pretty dumb idea, but it actually leads to something that is a much more workable, much more effective, much more useful idea.
So you got some fans out there from this. Paolo on our website writes, I think this is great. I agree 100%. There is no plan. I did what I thought I was supposed to do. I finished high school, got into college, prepared to finish college. Then I was forced to leave college, and suddenly the autopilot was turned off. I had to fly for myself, and it was the scariest time of my life. And VJ in Queens is a senior now, I think. Hi, VJ.
I'm actually a grad student. Graduating from Polytech in Brooklyn, and your guest's favoring of fundamental decisions as opposed to instrumental decisions is very comforting, because I'm the kind of person who usually makes a lot of fundamental decisions, and it's nice to know that those are the kind of people who succeed, because a lot of my friends are making a lot of instrumental decisions, and they seem to like succeed in the short term. And I couldn't get myself to make those kind of instrumental decisions, because I favor fundamental decisions. It's just your guest gives me some terminology to, like, label my instincts. So it was very comforting, and I'm, like, looking for a job right now, and hopefully find something soon.
VJ, thank you. Daniel, anything to say to VJ? I think it is the last career guide he'll ever need.
Well, it also has the virtue, since it's all strategic information and it's in a graphic novel, of you can read
being
it in
fun.
An hour.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, he certainly gets it, right?
Well, VJ makes a good point. I mean, I graduated from college in the early 1980s, and back then there were plenty of my college classmates who went into engineering because it was a way to get a job. They weren't particularly great at it. They didn't particularly love it, mm-hmm. but there was the PC had just come out. The Cold War was going to last forever, and so they could always get jobs. And they found making their lives by making these instrumental decisions, they found their world turned upside down not too long ago. And many of them are really struggling, whereas a lot of the schmoes like me who graduated without a job but tried to follow what we were really interested in ended up over time doing work that mattered and trying to make an impact on the world.
Book has a great sense of humor, by the way, like the part where the fairy godmother character Diana loses her temper and says, I'm out of here faster than you can say lifetime of quiet desperation, or where Johnny is looking at online courses and wants to enroll in one called Leadership, Finance, and Narcissism.
Right, which ends up being oversubscribed.
Of course. Right, yeah. So, but what do you do if the only things you're really interested in are your guitar and your tennis racket?
You have sort of an unhealthy affection for strings, is what you're saying.
You could put it that way.
No, I mean, I think that they're all, I doubt that anybody is only interested in those sorts of things, that there are people out there who can find work that matters, can find something that they're great at. I mean, if you look at what's one of the interesting trends in business thinking in the last 10 years is the strengths movement, which is much more where it's focused much more on people discovering what they're good at rather than repairing what they're bad at. And people who start exploring that will find that they're good at things that actually have a remunerative value. It's just a matter of discovering those things. And it's going to change, you know, it's going to change over time. I mean, this is careers are a process. It isn't simply that you can, dump a packet into a glass of water and mix and everything's going
to
be all right.
We have to leave it there, I'm sorry to say. Daniel Pink, who's obviously really good at this, lectures to corporations, associations, and universities on economic transformation. And his new book is The Adventures of Johnny Bunko, the last career guide you will ever need. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Brian.